Welcome to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast, the show that offers you tips and strategies to help speakers build the business of their dreams. Now, here's your host, 30-year industry veteran and business coach, Jane Atkinson.
Welcome, everyone, to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. As of course you know, this is not an easy time in history, but I do know that companies and associations need to continue to move their strategic agendas forward. And I also know that a great way to pull yourself up and out of a dip is to peer out into the future. Today, I'd like you to be thinking about creating some really big goals for yourself. We've said this on the show before that the speaking industry, not rocket science, but that said, I'm very pleased to welcome to the show Ozan Varol. Welcome, Ozan.
Thank you so much for having me on, Jane. It's great to be here.
Ozan, you are indeed a rocket scientist by trade, which we don't come across all that often in our profession, but tell everybody kind of the Reader's Digest version of your story and how you came to land where you are today.
Sure. I grew up in Istanbul, Turkey, and in this tiny apartment, our electricity supply was really unreliable. And we used to get really frequent blackouts, which used to scare the heck out of me as a little kid. And my dad would, he'd light a candle and he'd grab my soccer ball and he'd show me, you know, he'd rotate the soccer ball around the candle to show how the earth rotated around the sun to distract me from getting scared. Those ended up being my first astronomy, astrophysics lessons, and I was hooked. My moonshot became to be an astronaut one day, and I researched the biographies of all NASA astronauts and identified some common threads, and one of them was, you know, getting a great science engineering degree from a prestigious college in the United States, and that became the next step in my roadmap. I learned English as a second language. I landed at Cornell to study astrophysics. I ended up working on the operations team for the 2003 Mars Exploration Rovers Project that sent two rovers to Mars. And then I did this crazy 180, went to law school from there, practiced law for 2 years, pivoted again, went into academia, became a law professor, which I've been doing for the past 10 years. And then about 3 years ago, I did another pivot and started blogging, writing for general audiences, doing speaking, podcasting, and all of that culminated in the release of my new book in April of this year, which is 2020 is when we're recording this, called Think Like a Rocket Scientist, Simple Strategies You Can Use to Make Giant Leaps in Work and Life, which became a number one bestseller. And here I am.
And another little feather in your cap, it also became one of Amazon's books of the year, which I imagine it got a nice bump when that happened as well.
Yes, yeah. It was picked as one of Amazon's top 20 books of 2020 in three different categories.
That is just really amazing. So 3 years ago, you write and launched the book. And you create very smartly, kind of like a following, a newsletter list from that. Talk about your newsletter and the number of people on it and what that's done for you in your business.
Yeah, absolutely. So the blog I launched back in, I think, 2016. And one of the interesting things looking back is like I had, having read all these articles online about, you know, get 10,000 followers or 10,000 email subscribers in 3 months. And it gave me this false perception of how quickly I would progress. And it wasn't quick at all. I think at the end of year one, I had maybe 600 subscribers to my email list. But I was doing this consistently. You know, every week I would put out new content. And initially I had no idea what I would even write about. Like, I just had no clue. And over time, you know, themes started to emerge, things that I would be interested in and that I could tell would also resonate with my readers. And then so I just started doubling down on that. And through word of mouth and some strategic partnerships, I ended up partnering with a couple of other platforms to syndicate the really successful blog posts I had. For example, the Next Big Idea Club, which is a club that's curated by Adam Grant, Dan Pink, Susan Cannon, and Malcolm Gladwell. Their website ended up syndicating a lot of my content, which then drove additional subscribers to my email list. I would always include something at the very end of the article saying, you know, if you enjoy this article, you can get my free ebook. So I had this like digital download that I created, which is about 15 pages, like 8 principles you can use to innovate your thinking or something along those lines. And that would be my lead magnet to drive people back to my website so they can download that and get on my email lists. And little by little, it grew. So as of today, I think we just crossed the 25,000 subscriber mark.
Awesome. Yeah. You're in my book, so I'm going to have to update that. I had a little highlight there. But check on this number because I had a feeling it was growing quickly. Congratulations. I mean, that was awfully strategic for someone who I'm thinking business strategy. Like, did you always just have, I'm thinking about rocket science. Is it a numbers game? I mean, I've seen Hidden Figures. That's why I think it's a numbers game. I don't know if I'm completely wrong on that, but is it a lot about math? And talk about that a little bit and how the speaking business is in conjunction with that for you.
Sure. No, there's certainly a lot of math and physics and a lot of numbers, but at the same time, this is really the point of my book. The point of the book wasn't to teach the math and physics, like the science behind rocket science, but really the critical thinking skills, the decision-making skills that rocket scientists used to make these really complicated decisions in conditions of immense uncertainty.
Okay.
You know, there is about 1,000 things that can happen when you go to light a rocket and only one of them is good. And so, so there's just so much uncertainty. And so I wanted to bring those decision-making skills and critical thinking skills into and bridge that gap between rocket science and the real world. And I certainly did that in terms of, I think, blogging and really everything I've done ever since I launched my blog has been through that like mindset of thinking through these issues like a rocket scientist would. Mm-hmm. So one way to do that is through experiments. I run a lot of experiments.
In business, right?
Yeah, exactly. And people are, I think, really reluctant to take risks. Mm-hmm. And I take a lot of risks, but I do it in a very calculated way, just like I did when I was in rocket science. You know, you set up small scale experiments and you see what works and what doesn't work. So I'll just give a very quick example. Earlier this year, I had the idea of launching a mastermind. Now, one way to go about this would be to spend like months basically creating content and then putting together this comprehensive strategy about how it's going to work. But you don't know if what you're offering is going to resonate with your audience. So I just flipped the script. I just included this PS line at the end of one of my weekly emails saying, I'm thinking about launching this mastermind. If you're interested, fill out this application form, which took me 5 minutes to set up. And lots of people applied. And so that gave me the idea that, okay, well, this is something that people want. And we ended up in this first cohort enrolling about 6 people, and we could have enrolled a lot more, but we were really selective about the people we picked. But that mindset allows me to test different offerings and to see what resonates and what doesn't resonate. I think one of the biggest takeaways for me has been, you don't know what's going to work until you try.
Right.
You don't know. You can create every pro and con list imaginable, but you don't know, and creators are really bad judges of their own work too. You don't know what the audience is going to respond to until you actually put it out there.
Right. So good. And I do remember once you and I talking at the very beginning of our coaching relationship, hey, when's the last time you asked your followers, when you have over 20,000 people on your list, you want to put some PSs in there that have meaning. And so you put out a PS about booking a virtual engagement and bing, bang, boom, things happened right away. And I think that's what we need to remember to be doing. One of the things I want to mention about this is the mindset element can get in your way of taking risks. You might say, as one of my masterminders did earlier today, I haven't done a webinar yet because I don't know how. And so the thought is, I don't know how to do this. But really, he did know how to do it. Right. He just was kind of saying, I'm not doing it yet. You just have to figure it out and move forward. And even if you fail, even if your first webinar is a disaster, at least now you have some intelligence for moving forward for your second one, and it's going to be better. I mean, I remember the very first mastermind I did probably 10 years ago, 10 plus years ago, and I had almost 100 people in it. And that was a big mistake right there. Speakers want to speak. So I'm down to 10 people and I've understood the difference. Okay, so let's walk through. I have been so impressed at kind of watching you grow your business as we go through this COVID thing. And, you know, obviously you came to me wanting to book more presentations, live presentations. And so you've pivoted and shifted, and you have created several different revenue streams. So we've got books. Books is one revenue stream for you. And we've got live speaking and virtual speaking, which is another revenue stream. Talk about some of the other ones.
Yes. And before I do that, on live speaking and virtual speaking, the advice you gave to me, Jane, was so spot on. Adding that, because I just assume, people, even my audience, of course they know I do speaking, right? They didn't. A lot of them just had no idea that I was doing virtual events. And, you know, adding that one PS line you had suggested, I mean, immediately, you know, 6, 7, 8 people reached out to me that day to inquire about booking virtual events.
It's so funny, the simplicity of asking for the sale.
Yeah.
That is sales 101. And what blows my mind is how infrequently we do it, how we forget about it, and how we make an assumption of what our clients think about us.
Right.
We don't know. And I bet you have to tell people not once, not twice, probably several times before it really sinks in that, hey, actually, you know, yes, I have the contrarian. By the way, your blog and your newsletter are the same thing, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're called the contrarian, and your goal is to get across, is it in a less than a minute?
It shares one big idea that you can read in 3 minutes or less.
Okay.
And those who are listening, by the way, if you're curious, you can sign up for that at weeklycontrarian.com. But no, that's absolutely right. So repetition is really important. People are busy. I mean, just because you said it once doesn't mean that everyone in your audience is not going to see that. But even if they saw it, they're not going to remember it. And so repetition is key. And then asking for the sale or putting yourself out there. For me, Jane, you know, I was reluctant to do this at the very beginning. There's so much fear behind, because you're being vulnerable by saying to your audience, look, I made this. Are you interested? Do you want to play with me? You know, like a kid would, and you're afraid of rejection.
I think we can bring that back to being a numbers game though, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Offers minus no's, the number of no's you get equals yeses.
Right.
And that's the math of the speaking industry. My mentor, Brooke Castillo, says that your goal is to offer water to thirsty people with money. Your goal is to offer delicious water to thirsty people with money. And that's it. I mean, it really is a numbers game. And I think that fear, you're so not alone in having that fear of rejection.
Yeah, exactly. You know, getting over that fear, for me, it's helpful to adopt this experimental mindset. Like, I'm just trying, you know, I'm just experimenting. Some of these are not going to work. Others are going to work. The ones that don't work, I'll learn from them. And then I'll iterate and improve. That's the whole. And I'm actually actively trying to increase my failure rate with these like new offerings I'm trying, because so far everything has resonated with my audience that I've tried this year.
Something about your audience. We've talked about books and speaking. Mm-hmm. You've got at the lowest kind of price point is what it's called, your inner circle.
Right, exactly. So that's a membership community, and basically I do a monthly coaching call with them, and there's about 400 people in there. I do a monthly coaching call for them. I also do weekly masterclasses, which are really short videos on like personal development, productivity, creativity, decision making, etc. And then there's also a private forum where they can engage with other members and do prompts and challenges.
Awesome.
And so that's at the lowest price point.
Yeah, that's not very expensive. And the goal is to get that into the thousands of people.
Yep.
and exactly. continue to see that grow. I love that. There's not a ton of speakers out there who are doing the membership, you know, at all. And so yeah. I love that you're planting this seed, because it doesn't have to be super, super difficult. Like yeah. what you said sounded pretty simple.
Yeah. And
a lot of people probably could do it. Okay. So then you've got what else?
Then one step above from that is, which I actually just launched today. It is a Moonshot Academy, which is a virtual retreat, a 2-day weekend retreat, where we take basically this 4-step process that I have in my book, Think Like a Rocket Scientist, called the Moonshot Process. Mm-hmm. We take that, and then we're probably going to admit around 20, 25 people and help them implement that process over the course
of the year. Oh, okay. So it's a limited number
yes.
retreat. And I bet
at least for this initial cohort. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. And are you running that with your wife? Let's give
yes.
her a
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So Kathy, my wife, and I are running that together.
That's awesome. Now, she has a 20-year background in?
In strategy, brand marketing. She's been in the corporate world for a while, which brings a very different perspective than mine.
I love that. And eventually, when life returns to normal, y'all can be bringing these people to you for your retreat, which would yeah. be really neat. Okay, so there's the live retreat, and then you've also got a year-long mastermind, also called Moonshot. And that's Moonshot, right. by the way, is for a company that really wants to see the needle move. Talk about that a little bit. Who's that for?
Yeah, exactly. So the word moonshot harkens back to humanity's first moonshot, which is to, you know, put a man in Kennedy's pledge in September mm-hmm. 1962 to put a man on the moon before the decade was out. And at the time, this was quite literally a moonshot, because he said, you know, some of the metals required to build these rockets hadn't even been invented yet. And in less than 7 years, Neil Armstrong took his giant leap for mankind. And just to put that in context, you know, somebody who was 6 years old when the Wright brothers took their first flight, mm-hmm. which lasted like 10 seconds and moved about 100 feet, would have been 72 when flight became powerful enough to put a person on the moon. I mean, that is a huge leap taken within a single lifespan.
Yeah,
it's often celebrated as the triumph of technology, but it wasn't. It really was the triumph of this thought process, the moonshot thinking, which is a way of, and I have 4 steps of that I talk about, which I'm happy to go into if
yes.
you'd like, Jane.
We want to yeah. moonshot goals for ourselves here today on this show.
Yeah, exactly. So the first step is reimagine. Okay. And reimagine begins with defining your moonshot and reimagining what's possible. Often, we've been seduced primarily due to social conditioning and some educational conditioning as well, to aim low. That, you know, small dreams are wiser than moonshots, that coasting is better than soaring, and that flying lower is safer than flying higher. That's not the case. The possibilities in life, just like the possibilities in life, tend to be more open and expansive if you set your goals higher than you have before. And so it's been interesting for me to bring that into the speaking mindset too, of like, you know, like initially my speaking fees, that what I was asking for were, I think, way too low. And working with you, Jane, I've been able to increase them, you know, really to a moonshot level for me.
And they're going even further, I have to tell you. Could you have imagined the business model that you've developed today and the fees that you're charging today? Could you have even imagined that 2 years ago?
No, definitely not. Absolutely not.
You're living your moonshot. Yeah. And the fact that you came over to the United States, you got your education here, that was a moonshot.
Yes.
Then becoming a rocket scientist and working on the Mars projects and that was another moonshot. And then you're like, oh, I'm just going to become a lawyer. Another moonshot. Oh, I'm just going to become a law professor. Another moonshot. I mean, basically your life has been a series of these. So really, when you think about it, I have a moonshot goal in mind in terms of finances. And when we're in the middle of COVID, all I'm thinking is that it's just been delayed. Mm-hmm. Just been delayed. Everything is still on the horizon. I've reached every other goal I've ever wanted to reach. Why can't I do this one?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly the mindset. And then you marry that. And I think this is the important part. It's not just about dreaming big and, you know, sprinkling some like pixie dust. And it, like, fairy dust. Exactly. And imagining that, like, you know, your dreams are going to take flight magically. It's combining idealism with pragmatism. And the way that I do that, and this is part of this moonshot process, is through a strategy called backcasting. I'm sure people listening here have heard of forecasting, which is like you look at what's in front of you and then you project that into the future. Yes. The problem with that is that what's in front of you has all of these assumptions and biases and limitations embedded into it. And when you forecast based on what's in front of you, it can be quite limiting. Backcasting does the opposite. So you begin with your moonshot and then you work backward from that to figure out exactly how you're going to get there. So you create this like step-by-step roadmap, this blueprint that's going to guide you to get to your moonshot. So like for me, and I wasn't calling it that, but like growing up, my moonshot was to become an astronaut. You know, As I mentioned, I researched the biographies of all these astronauts and figured out exactly what I needed to do to become an astronaut one day. Like, here are the steps that I need to take and how do I get there and moving through that. And by the way, the beauty of moonshot thinking, I never got my moonshot. I am not an astronaut, at least not yet.
But you worked at NASA, I mean, which is pretty darn cool. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I'm thinking about my, you know, millions of dollars that I want to make. If I fail, it means I've only made it to 800,000. Oh, gee, ho hum.
Right. Exactly. Right? Yep. So, and that's the great thing about moonshot thinking is like, even if you fail, you're going to fail above your previous success. You're mm-hmm. going to fail above everybody else.
Yeah.
And so I never would have been able to work on this Mars mission if my moonshot hadn't been to become an astronaut, if I wasn't aiming as high as I was.
That's really, I love that. Okay, so reimagine is step one of our moonshot landing. What is step two?
So step two is experiment, and we already touched upon this, mm-hmm. To really create these small scale experiments, create hypotheses about like different offerings that you might think about, maybe different topics that you might speak about, different markets that your message might resonate with, and then test and set up these small scale experiments. Small scale meaning like you're not investing a ton of time and resources into these experiments. You're just trying them out on a limited basis to see how the audience, your target audience resonates.
Like you with your PS and your newsletter.
Yeah, exactly. Which is a really low cost way to try things.
Yeah. Or the newsletter today that said, hey, we're doing this weekend retreat.
Right.
You know, that's an experiment. And what do you have to lose in that? Yeah. A little bit of time. What I think a lot of people do is they'll say, hey, I'm going to develop an online course. And they spend weeks and months and maybe even years getting it all together. And then they launch it when in fact, they should probably launch it with the first module done and then go forward, because finding out whether or not you've got enough people interested is the key to the experiment.
That's spot on. And I have to say the experiment mindset also helps me at least get over this fear of rejection. Like this is just an experiment, right? This isn't something that I've tied my identity around. I'm just trying this out. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If it works, amazing.
It's like back in my dating days, I loved this book that and turned into a movie called He's Just Not That Into You.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Take it off of you. It's not about you. It's just not a match. It's just not a good fit. And that's what I think experimenting with your clients is. What I have to offer isn't the beautiful water that these people are thirsty for, or they're not thirsty, or they're not thirsty with money.
Exactly. Or they're just not thirsty right now. And they might be a month from now or 2 months from now.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. I love experiment, and there's so many ways. How many offers have you made of your service, even if you were selling virtual presentations? How many offers? It's offers minus no's equals yeses. It's just an experiment. That really takes the onus off of you in terms of feeling that rejection. It's not about you. It's about the water isn't exactly what they want. Okay, let's go to step three.
Okay, so step three is accelerate. And I think this is where a lot of people go astray, is to learn from both failed and successful experiments. You know, fail fast, fail often. That mantra is all the rage these days in Silicon Valley. And I think it's not a very useful way of thinking about it. At least from a rocket science perspective, the goal isn't to fail fast. The goal is to learn fast.
Right.
Just because you're failing doesn't mean you're learning from it. And in fact, the research shows that we don't learn from failure. Because when we fail, we blame other people or we blame other things to protect ourselves, right? We don't want to say, well, I made a mistake or I made a bad decision. We say, well, you know, the audience wasn't ready for this or the timing wasn't right or this or that. But it really, the people who are able to learn from failure, they are able to turn that lens within and take a look at what they did right and what they did wrong. And so this means also being in touch with your audience and really getting feedback from them. I mean, right. You can reach out to them and say, the people who click through to your sales page but didn't buy, you can send them an email asking like, hey, you know, why did you not buy? What led you to not sign up for this? Same thing with the participants in your programs. Like Kathy and I.
My failed Inner Circle Mastermind with 100.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
They gave me lots of feedback. Right. I knew it was a failure the moment I started it because it felt like, uh-oh, I'm not going to be able to get to everybody. And that bothered me.
Right.
So immediately I had really good feedback and immediately I was able, and what it is transformed to today is just through a series of failures.
Exactly.
Once a month, that wasn't enough. Fail. Move on to twice a month and, you know, so on. You learn from everything that you do. Sorry, go ahead. You were going to talk.
No, that's spot on, Jane. And I think it's important to get that feedback for successful programs as well. So we also don't learn from success.
Right.
When we succeed, we assume everything went according to plan. But we don't realize that we succeeded despite making a mistake, despite making a bad decision. And so it's important to learn from successful experiments as well. And so, you know, one of the things we're doing right now with our mastermind that Kathy and I are running is this initial cohort was, instead of a year long, we tried it on a 6-month basis. Mm-hmm. And we're about halfway through and we're setting up calls with every participant to get feedback because we want to improve real time and we're constantly seeking feedback from them after every session to be able to get that information and improve the program as we're in the program. Like, we're not going to wait until the end to get feedback on it.
Right.
We want to be able to get feedback real time so we can improve this already successful program.
So was there anything that you needed to adjust as you went?
Yeah, definitely. I think one of the things is, for me with a mastermind, is really striking that balance between organic questions and having some structure in place. So having each call sort of progress organically driven by the specific challenges that each mastermind member is facing, but also having a container, a structure, maybe a theme or a prompt that will help move the conversation in the right direction. And I think, you know, in the first few sessions, we were probably too unstructured, too open-ended. We really wanted to be responsive to the specific challenges that each member was facing. But I think the feedback we've been getting is adding a little bit more structure would actually be really useful. So we've been doing that as we move along.
Gotcha. Yeah, we have three things that we share in each of ours, but we're not kind of leading them through the steps. Are you leading your people through reimagine, experiment, accelerate, and we haven't gotten to it yet, but achieve? Is that the process?
That is the process, although the different members are in very different stages. And so they're not, you know, all in the reimagine stage, for example.
Right.
Which makes it challenging.
Okay, that's really interesting. And so that makes me wonder whether or not you can pull together smaller groups who are just at each stage walk them through or something.
Although I thought about that too, but interestingly, the feedback has been like, it's actually cool to see other people in other stages.
Okay.
You know, because like somebody who's in the accelerate stage can give feedback, really useful feedback, to someone who's in the reimagine stage. Mm-hmm. And then the person who's in the reimagine stage could see what it's like to be in the experiment phase. So that sort of back and forth between beginners and experts have actually been really useful. And we also were very intentional about bringing in people from very different industries because we wanted that cross-pollination to happen. And that's been one of the most valuable parts of the mastermind.
That's so interesting. And maybe a place that you could break it down in is in your forum. If you have, you know, blocks of chatting about reimagine, blocks of chatting about experimenting, that could
be that's a great idea.
So people could go back and look at all the questions and answers that you might have given them. Okay, let's get to number four. Step number four in the moonshot series is
achieve. And achieve, as I mentioned before, has a very different meaning when it comes to moonshot thinking. Achieve doesn't necessarily mean you land the exact moonshot that you were hoping for.
Okay.
The beauty of moonshot thinking is even if you don't get what you want, even if you don't get your moonshot, you will end up at a place far higher than you otherwise would have if you had not followed this process. And achieve also is sort of like if you imagine this as a loop, achieve becomes reimagine again. So this is a never-ending loop. So once you achieve, you're back at reimagine, experiment, accelerate, and achieve. And that's what really keeps you on your toes. You don't get complacent with success. When you do achieve, you're actually back in the beginning of reimagining, redefining your moonshots. And I love this line that Jeff Bezos has included in every single shareholder letter that he's sent to Amazon shareholders from like the very first days of the company since it went public. And he says in every shareholder letter, it's still day one. It's still day one. It's still day one. And somebody asked him during an interview, now you've been saying this, what does day two look like? And he said, day two is stasis, followed by irrelevance, followed by excruciating and painful decline. Which is why it's always day one. So you're not getting complacent with success. You're going back to where you first began with reimagine.
Yeah. So it's achieve and then back to reimagine. And I really want people to recognize their successes, even the smallest ones. I think right now it's more important. So this backcasting. It's kind of what another one of my mentors, Dan Sullivan, talks about, and he has an app called WinStreak. Hmm. The goal is that you stay out of the gap. The gap is the distance from where you are today to where you want to be. And when you backcast and look back from where you've come from, you're more likely to recognize your wins, and that actually helps to drive momentum. And so when you, every single day at 4 o'clock, my WinStreak app says, what were your wins today? And sometimes I think, I didn't really get that much done today. But then when I actually prompt my brain to start thinking about it, then it causes a little celebration. And I think that is a part of the achievement process, is to celebrate even the successes of, you know, for some people, it's I woke up today.
Right.
We have a friend up at the cottage who went through a horrific head-on collision. For him, every day is like, I'm above ground today. That's a good day. So he's, you know, he's celebrating his achievement. But I think a lot of people maybe are beating themselves up for not achieving as much as they wanted, for not achieving the moonshot.
Yeah. And I love that. That example, Jane, of like taking stock at the end of each day of your wins, because you're right. It does feel like, especially when you're in the thick of things, that you didn't really accomplish anything. But actually, if you look back carefully, you've accomplished so much, which is why one thing, and this is maybe for writers, but really it probably applies outside of the writing realm as well. But I never set like daily word counts for myself. When I used to do that, I used to feel awful. I would say, all right, I'm going to write, you know, 500 words today. And I wouldn't get there, but I would also have a great idea for like a chapter or a chapter title. And that is a win. you know, but if you've set this impossible goal for yourself for each day, then it's, and then you feel lousy when you don't meet it. So taking stock of your small wins throughout the day is really important too.
I like that. Well, we'll put a link to the WinStreak app in the show notes so that people can, and if you want to get the show notes, by the way, go to speakerlauncher.com and click on the podcast there. That's where you're going to see the biggest and best version of the show notes. We'll also put a link to The Contrarian. Tell me that URL again, though. We'll say that loud.
It's weeklycontrarian.com.
Weeklycontrarian.com. I get this newsletter and I really unsubscribe from almost all newsletters. And that's the one that I read because I can read it in under 3 minutes and it's going to give me one big, great idea. And I love the way that you stimulate us to think about things differently. You come at things from such a different perspective than me. I love that. And let's also put in a plug. We'll put in a link to the book on Amazon, Think Like a Rocket Scientist. Just tell me what your subtitle is again.
It's Simple Strategies You Can Use to Make Giant Leaps in Work and Life.
So good. Well, I can see why it was voted top 20 books of 2020. Ozan, you are just a wealth of information and interesting things. I hope that people will follow these four steps, maybe join some of the things that you're doing. Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and give a link to your website as well.
Yeah, it's ozanvarol.com. So O-Z-A-N, V as in Victor, A-R-O-L.com.
All right. Well, those of you who are listening in, I hope that you have been inspired to go for your moonshot. What is it going to look like? For me, mine has been bumped out to 2022. That's okay. I'm actually really excited about what's been going on. And, you know, something that I just said to my Inner Circle Mastermind today was, I think the reason I'm so excited right now is because I'm learning. And whenever we're learning something new, it gets us kind of reinvigorated. So maybe that's some extra little food for thought there. What have you been learning lately? What are you doing that inspires you? Well, thank you, Ozan, for being with us today. And with that, we will say, see you soon, Wealthy Speakers. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. If you need help building the speaking business of your dreams, head over to WealthySpeakerSchool.com and take advantage of our 20-minute next step call. Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast.